Welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. Nate discusses various topics through the eyes of a young Christian. The goal is to invite others to learn about Christianity through casual conversations with wonderful guests, especially people who want to grow in their faith.
Maybe I want to be the passenger princess. You know what I'm saying? Drive me around.
Before this episode begins, remember that none of us are perfect and that we are here to learn and help each other grow. Feel free to donate to Nate through Cash App at Imperfect Podcast. Make sure to follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We hope you take something great away from this episode. Enjoy!
Hi guys, whoever's watching. I'm Nate. These are my guests. You've seen both of them before. King Beam, he's been on 3 straight episodes. This is a 3rd straight. This is a 3rd straight episode of King Beam, and he's going to be on the next one.
3-peat.
He's going for a 4-peat, don't worry.
Michael Jordan.
Zoe's back.
Yeah.
She had 4 episodes.
I did, so that's true.
She did have 4 episodes. So, you know, go ahead and introduce yourselves again.
Hi, my name is King Beam, and I have a YouTube channel called King X Beam, where I talk about movies and TV shows, and I love my dog, Jax.
I love your dog, too.
No.
Hi, I'm Zoe from Black Girl Meets Pop Culture. It's like a podcast and a YouTube thing, so you can listen to it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but you can also listen slash watch on YouTube. And like the title says, I'm a black girl that talks about pop culture. So last episode I did, at the time of this recording, I talked about Akira Toriyama, the passing of Akira Toriyama, who created Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, and what it meant to me. So stuff like that, that's what I talk about.
And I'm Nate, like I said. I don't need to introduce myself. Anyways, today we are going to talk about pop culture, Zoe's specialty, and Star Wars, both y'all's specialty. I don't have a script or said topics like I usually do. I have a few things, but this is going to be a yapping session. But I do have a Bible verse, and so you said you have one too. Mine is... Where's mine? Oh, okay, here it is. Mine is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 to 33. I have the right to do anything you say. It is an NIV translation. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising concern of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I'm referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. That hurt my eyes because I don't have my contacts in and these glasses hurt. But so in relation to pop culture, Star Wars, whatever you may want to talk about in pop culture, it's secular. It's not Christian. But what Paul's telling us in this verse is indulge in the world. God created the world for us to live in, and it's all his creation. So it's okay to dabble into the world, but do it with caution of bad intentions of pop culture, let's say horror movies. Horror movies just denounce God as a whole. So be careful of what movies you put into your soul. And I think when he's talking about the conscience of others, somebody may give you something with the conscience of the purpose of harming you, but as a Christian, we're going to have the conscience of, oh, God's providing me with something new to experience in life. I thank God for that, so let me experience it. While it may be bad, we guard our hearts and we know what's right, and we know that God's going to protect us. So that's what I take from the verse. And that's, I think I can apply it to pop culture, because like I said, there's things out there that aren't good for us, but we have to know what's right to indulge in, what's not right to indulge in. So what are y'all thoughts? And after y'all share your thoughts, so you can read your verse.
I just like near the end of the verse, it says, whatever you do, you know, all things, do it to the glory of God. And I feel like what me and Zoe are doing, you know, we're taking what could be what is a secular form of media, but like, you know, we're just talking about it on YouTube, and it can brighten up someone's day, bring joy to someone's life. And, you know, I feel like God wants us to make other people happy. So in that way, we're taking the secular media, but like doing it to the glory of God, which is what the Bible verse tells us to do.
Right. And also, like, I know I've watched some of your videos, Jeff. I know in one of your videos, like you've mentioned, you know, I'm a man of faith. So like a lot of times, or not, I want to say a lot of times, but like I talk about Avatar: The Last Airbender, and there are a lot of things that in that show remind me of the Bible. Like, for example, spoiler alert for a show that came out 19 years ago, but at the end of season one, you have Aang becomes like, so the moon spirit dies and Aang becomes the moon spirit. And the way that it happens is kind of like the angel of death in the book of Exodus, where Pharaoh's warned several times, hey, don't do this. And even in the show, in Avatar The Last Airbender, Zhao was warned several times, do not mess with the spirits. And what does he do? He messes with the spirits. Pharaoh was warned several times. Sometimes these plagues came unannounced. Other times God was so gracious enough to tell Moses, to tell him, and he faced the consequences of that. So, yeah, I definitely do mention sometimes when it comes up, when it reminds me of the Bible, certain things that I talk about that remind me of the Bible, not to be like, Jesus, 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 but because Christianity and my belief in Christ is so involved in how I see the world, I can't neglect it. And it may seem overbearing to some people that I talk about church all the time, or I talk about the Bible all the time, but I don't care because that's what we're called to do as Christians. And going back to the verse that you mentioned, Nate, we as Christians in, Jeff, I'm sure you can, or even you, Nate, appeal to this and feel what I'm saying, is that we're called to not have other people stumble. So when Paul is talking about that in that chapter, we don't want to be a stumbling block for other people. So when I post certain things on YouTube or on Instagram, I try not to post anything with swearing in it because I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. I try, it's not like the stuff I talk about has like necessarily like content that's like kind of like risque, but even if it does, I try to not be a stumbling block to somebody. And when I speak, I try not to swear or anything. I don't necessarily swear. Do I slip up? Sure. But especially when I'm recording myself and I have the ability to censor myself, I don't want that out there because I feel like it makes me look bad. And I feel like it makes it seem like it's okay when it's not. Yeah.
I think, like y'all saying, like you said, as a Christian, we see things differently. And we understand in our faith where we see God reveal himself in the world and throughout the Bible. And you see that in pop culture a lot. Like, there's some sort of religion, whether it be Christianity or some other religion, there's some sort of religious connection in a lot of aspects of pop culture. Like Star Wars, for example, the Jedi, the Force. The Jedi is a religion. And they treat the Force like a guidance. In Dune, you have Lisan Agi, literally called a messiah, literally the person that's supposed to lead them out of like their troubled times. There's some sort of godly figure or spirit in so many pieces of pop culture. I think I said we were going to talk about Star Wars eventually, but Zoe, go ahead and share your scripture first, unless it has something to do with like Star Wars or anything.
Now, before I go to a scripture that I have two, but one of them I want to say for talking about pop culture. But what you said, talking about how pop culture and media shows kind of, or it reflects kind of, to us at least, God. That's literally Romans chapter 1, where it talks about how creation itself proves that there is a God. Creation itself sings of God's glory and his existence. So people will often say, well, what about people who've never heard of Jesus? What about people who live in a different country where it's outlawed and this, that, and the third? Well, creation speaks for it. And Romans says in that very chapter that God will speak to people in their own way to reveal himself. So maybe for somebody, it's watching a movie that maybe is not necessarily about Christ, but has characteristics and emulates Christ to where they're like, okay, I'm interested. You know, I heard one YouTuber actually, and I'll go up to the verse in a bit, but one YouTuber, he was like, he was watching a show. It was pretty demonic, if I were to say so myself, but they talked about the book of Proverbs. And because they talked about the book of Proverbs, he went out and bought a Bible and read it for himself. So, you know, that's just an example of how pop culture, even though it has its flaws, can really affect people to bring them to Christ, closer to Christ. But the verse that I would use, and I say this verse often, when talking about the world and us as Christians dealing with the world, is Romans 12, verse 2, but I'll start at verse 1. Yeah, Romans 12, verse 2, but I'll start at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. So there, right there, same author, it's Paul, but he's speaking to a different audience, but it's the same thing. And I often say, as Christians, people are like, you hear a lot of Christians like, la, 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 I don't want to hear about the world, I don't want to hear about the world. But you sometimes need to know the world in order to know what to avoid. You see in the book of Leviticus, where Moses is being told by God, these are the laws. And when you see the laws, it says, don't be like these people. They do this. They sacrifice their kids. They drink blood. They do this with animals. They do that. They sleep around with this, that, and a third. Don't do that, because you want to be set apart from them. So you have to know, and it's just more effective to know as a Christian, why does God not want me to know this? So then you can understand God better and have a better understanding of who he is, especially as Christians.
Amen.
I try.
It's kind of like with Solomon too. Like, well, for one, Solomon, he indulged in the world just to find out, or just to like testify that you can indulge in the world, but it won't benefit you. Like certain parts of the world, like Solomon got drunk and sought women, and he said, this didn't help me at all. While I was drunk, I came out drunk and was as righteous as I was before. It didn't benefit me at all. So, like, he went through a bunch of ordeals to indulge in the world and see how that benefited him at all, and it didn't. And he also prayed for wisdom when he was first installed as king after David, and that helped him make a big decision with the two women in the decision of the child. So just moving like Solomon, I'm not saying go get drunk to find out what it's like.
But he used the world's resources. If you read before, it talks about, well, before David wants to build God's temple, and he says, no, your son will do that. And so Solomon uses the resources of other people, not the Israelites, to build the temple of God. So that's an example of using outside resources from the world, not from within Israel, to please God.
And the verse I read in Psalms 24:1 says, the world is the Lord's and everything in it. So there are things that God did put in this world that are meant to benefit us, whether it be movies, music, anything. There's things we gotta learn about. So I guess we can go in. Well, hold on. Actually, before you get into Star Wars, there's there's something we do gotta talk about. The woke agenda. We gotta talk about that a little bit.
Interesting.
So let's compare. Let's look at The Office. The Office, 2003 up to what, 2008, 11, something like that. What I like about The Office as a show is it was diverse. It was predominantly white, but it was diverse early on. You had Michael, Dwight, Pam, Jim, Stanley, Oscar, Meredith, a bunch of people, men and women, white, black, Hispanic, Latino, gay. And it wasn't forced. It was totally fine. The flow of the show went perfectly. Now, it's a requirement to have colored people, LGBTQ, even if the point of the story is, look, giant monster destroying world. What are we going to do with injustice? Not saying that's bad, but these are movies we're talking about. Now, if there's a, listen, there's a movie about social injustice, like The Color Purple. What's that one movie? Dang. I can't name them. The one with Michael B. Jordan and Brie Larson.
Oh, no. Brie Larson, I have no clue, actually.
What's the one with Janelle Monáe and Taraji P. Henson?
Hidden Figures.
The movie.
Historical movies, like those. The Emmett Till movie, Harriet Tubman movie. Those are great movies to teach about history, discrimination, stuff like that. But when you take, say, the Avengers and imply this woke agenda, one is forced, and two, like, it's just not necessary. And I remember yesterday, was Easter yesterday? Easter was yesterday.
Yes, indeed.
I remember I saw somebody posted that Joe Biden took all Easter symbols down, as in the religious Easter symbols.
And, like, did you hear what he made yesterday?
And he flew the plane, like, with a trans flag? Was that it?
Yeah.
It's the woke agenda is taking Christianity and trying to make us look like bad guys. And I think part of the reason is there's a misunderstanding of our religion. Like, the common stereotype for us is we're homophobic. Which goes against another stereotype, is that we love all people. So, you know, people are taking with cancel culture, like, nitpicking each individual thing you say, how you say it, stuff like that, taking all that stuff and just trying to use it against you. It's just bad for us as Christians. And, like, let's take being homophobic, for example. A lot of people use the excuse, I have a gay friend, or I have a black friend, to defeat racism, homophobia. But let's look at that in depth. Like, me personally, I've met so many people that aren't the same gender, same sex as me. And I've been totally fine. I've met people that are gay, transgender, and I've been totally fine with it. It doesn't bother me. Now, listen, the people that do meet these people and get it because of how they look or who they are, I think they are disgraceful and they need fixing immediately. But to say that a Christian is homophobic is very wrong, and to run with that stereotype is horrible. And it's very bad for our image, and just the fact that I had to go on the street and have my cross chain and say, oh, you're homophobic. Because some people in the Christian community, Christian church, are extremely homophobic. That's really bad, but I don't like that this woke agenda is using certain things against us and trying to make us look like bad guys.
Yeah, it's sad. Because, I mean, I know, I'm not going to say a lot, but I know that there are many Christians who are homophobic. But like you said, Christians are supposed to love everyone, you know? Like, I always think of it as, okay, yes, it's a sin, but like, we all sin every day. And God looks at all sin equally. So why are you looking at someone else different if you're doing other sins every day yourself, you know? Just treat everybody with love and go about your day, because it's not bothering you. So why do you have a problem with it?
Yeah, and going to your point, Nate, you mentioned like how we as Christians are being kind of like mischaracterized, and that's something I just cannot stand, not even just as a Christian, but as a person, when someone mischaracterizes me. But John 15:18 says that Jesus says that if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. So Jesus was the most loving person to ever walk this planet. However, you know what he said? When people like the Pharisees or other people like that, he called you brood of vipers, you sons of devils. And people are like, how can that be loving? It's loving because I'd rather tell you this now than you go to hell and I'm like, man, I wish Jesus had told me I was in sin. I wish Jesus told me that I was doing something wrong. And so when we talk about this agenda that's being pushed, you know, like I'm all for representation, but it's no longer genuine. And I've said this in my podcast several times, subtlety is dead. There's nothing subtle anymore. I always mention the episode in Teen Titans, I believe it's in season 4, it's called Trock. And Starfire is being called a Trockie, which is kind of like a racist term, the equivalent to the N-word. And so Cyborg shows up and he thinks it's like a slang type of name. And he says it to her and she's deeply offended. And she explains the origin of the word. And he's like, oh, I understand. And she's like, you do? This is a perfect opportunity for Cyborg to say, I understand because I'm black. But you know what he said? I understand because I'm half human. I'm a robot. You know, what happened to that? What happened to that? Now we got to be like, no, I'm black. Like, there was a whole episode, and please forgive me, I'm getting on my soapbox, but there was a whole episode of Arthur talking about Black Lives Matter. Last time I checked, they are animals. Yes. So it's just crazy to me. Like, if y'all had a storyline where, like, Buster was like, yo, there's a black bunny, and I'm a white bunny, like, that'd be different. But I was like, what is happening? You know, if you wanted to feel genuine, talk about, okay, there's different colored bunnies or there's different type of animals type of thing. But why are we talking about BLM when y'all are not even people? Like, I'm confused. In a kid's show, more or less. Like, that's a very adult topic. I remember when that happened, we were talking about that in my classes because we were in high school, not elementary school, which is what Arthur is targeted towards. High school. So it's absolutely ridiculous, and I got nothing more to say right now. I'm just going to try to calm down.
The one that I hate the most is Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, my God.
And there's this one
scene. We talked about this, too.
And there's two cops who are, like, racially profiling Falcon. And now, and the bank scene when the banker was being racist towards Falcon. Now, one, racism has never been in the MCU ever. It doesn't need to be. I don't think it's about superheroes. Two, this guy just saved the entire world. I don't know how long ago. He was wanted by the entire world government a couple years ago, so everyone knows who he is. So how is this world-famous superhero, why is he being racially profiled? Because he wouldn't be. Even if there is racism already established in the MCU, he wouldn't be racially profiled because he's literally an Avenger. So why is that in the show? Why?
And in the scene, like, when Sam is training with the shield and then Bucky just shows up, he's like, Steven, I didn't know how it would be for you to be a black Captain America. I'm like, why do we have to... What? You know, I just... And here's the thing. I remember in one of my classes, I took a class that was about film and kind of, like, minorities. And we were talking about Get Out. And there's a scene that could so be like, oh, he's racist. But when you think about it, he's not. He's just a jerk. And it's the scene when Chris and his girlfriend, I forgot her name, the deer runs into their car. Spoiler alert, once again. The deer runs into their car, and then the police officer shows up, and you can hear in the back of the conversation, it's kind of muffled, but he's like, Yeah, the number to call is pest control. And then he asks Chris for his ID. And so you're like, oh, he's being racist. But no, he's just being a jerk. Because when he was talking to his girlfriend, his white girlfriend, he was like, yeah, it's called pest control. So I like that that scene is not just about, oh, it's a white cop and a black guy. You know, because when you look deeper, he's just being a jerk. It's not even just about race. Sure, maybe there's some underlying aspects of race to it, but he's just a jerk. But yeah, we can't have that anymore.
I love Tarantino's movies. Kill Bill and Jackie Brown in particular, where there are really strong female protagonists, but no one in the movie is like, oh my gosh, you're strong and a black woman. Wow.
Right.
Like, it's just that's what the film is about, but no one has to call attention to it and make it a big thing because it's supposed to be implied. Show, don't tell, guys. That's how you make movies. Please, show, don't tell. Any aspiring writers out there, that's how you make a movie. Show, don't tell.
And, like, when we think about, let me say, I mentioned the Teen Titans before. In the version of the show that they take is from the 80s comic books, right? The three most powerful people are women. But nobody needs to say, oh, look, it's the powerful. Think of the X-Men. Storm, for the longest time, was the most powerful member of the X-Men. But once again, we're not turning around like, oh, look, she's a fucking goddess queen, and we ain't gonna have her on the cover. She's gonna lead the team. Oh, we need to have a whole PSA about treat black people right. And don't get me wrong, comic books have had their moments. I kid you not, Lois Lane became black. Look it up. It's a thing. But it's the face that Nate is making right now when I said that. But, you know, they've grown from that. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with addressing our history and being like, yeah, we dropped the ball on that. But to think that progress is new when it's been happening since my dad was reading comic books, since my dad was watching G.I. Joe and Defenders of the Earth and He-Man. Sure, were there a whole bunch of people that looked like him? No, but spoiler alert, even in America, we're still the minority. There's not a lot of us. Sure, in certain areas in the school that Nate and I went to, we were the majority. But in the world, we are still the minority. I'm not saying that we can't be represented, but if you want an accurate representation of the world, we're not in every scene, in every room you walk into is just straight black people or straight women of all different ethnicities. What? Maybe in North Virginia where I live, but not everywhere else.
And it's like, with all these like remakes nowadays, and everybody's like, oh, let's make this character black now because I want my kid to see themselves in the character. I remember when I was a kid, I'm watching Ben 10, Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I'm even the Powerpuff Girls. I'm not like, oh my gosh, I wish they were black. Like, I mean, I connect to the characters because the characters are cool. And then I know everybody, there's a whole bunch of people with the woke agenda who are like, oh, I can't watch Friends because New York has more black people than that, and Friends is racist. Just watch the show. Just enjoy the show for what it is. Why do you have to bring race into everything? Just enjoy it. Please.
I think there are times where shows have bad stereotypes on certain races. Like, in one of my classes a few semesters ago, we were looking at the way Hispanic or Latino people are portrayed. And usually they're portrayed as a drug cartel member, a drug dealer, maybe even somebody has a low paying position in a show. And I'm not gonna lie, I do see that. Like, if you look at Breaking Bad, it's just about, it's like a big storyline is the Mexican cartel and like who are the characters, Tuco, Crazy Eight, whole bunch of Hispanic Mexican characters that are just displayed only as drug cartel people. And I am for like a better representation. Like I always said, I'm for all for representation. Let's show them as doctors, maybe. Let's show them in a good spot. But there are times where certain stereotypes need to be put away. Like, I did notice that there are a lot of times where black characters, especially black kids, are portrayed as somebody that has a single parent. I did pick up on that. I was like, wait, that is something does need to change there. Like, if you look at, did little Bill have a dad? I don't even remember.
I think he did.
He probably did. I remember either grandma or a mom. I don't remember. But there are a lot of times where there's a black character portrayed with just a single parent. I would love to see something better than that. I'm trying to think of other ones. I really can't think of other ones, but
the black gay best friend is a big, big trope in a lot of TV shows.
That is a big trend. I'm not gonna lie.
What I have a problem with is like erasing it. What do I mean by that? In Dumbo, there is literally a crow named Jim. I think we all know why that's problematic. However, we're going to be like Hitler, and thank God he didn't learn from Napoleon. But Napoleon tried to do the same thing. Napoleon tried to invade Russia, and look what, and that was his first like defeat. Hitler tried to do the same thing, and look what it got him. Don't invade Russia. If he learned from the past, if he learned from history, he might not have made that same mistake. Thank God he did. But this is what I mean. When we start erasing stuff, when we're like, well, let's not talk about, you know, it's like after the Civil War, people were literally being taught, it's not about slavery, it's about property. We need to stop doing that because we have people to this day that still believe that the Civil War was not about your skin color and that you and I should be free and that we were emancipated on January 1st. No, 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 no. They're like, it was about property and, you know, the government is just, it's my property, this, that. We need to stop doing that because then we're going to continue to live in ignorance. I mean, going back to the Bible, this is what it talks about. In Romans chapter 1, where it talks about people suppress the truth and they live in willful ignorance. So once again, when I mentioned that creation sings that God exists, and when you deny God, you are living in willful ignorance. Psalm 14, verse 1, anyone that says that there is no God is a fool. We're doing the same thing. We're doing the same thing. We're living in willful ignorance. We're suppressing ourselves from the actual truth. And that could be so problematic going forward down the line with us and then our children and our children's children. It's very scary the direction that we're going in.
I think it all starts with the parents, you know, because I know that, yes, please send your kids to school to get them an education, but you also need to teach your kids because school isn't teaching them everything. And I mean, I always say this about Scorsese. I love that he makes a lot of entertaining movies, but they're historical as well. Like a lot of these things actually happen. And I like that he makes movies about stories that aren't in the history books, especially his newest movie, Killers of the Flower Moon. I would have never known about that massacre if it weren't for Scorsese making that movie. And, you know, schools aren't teaching kids that. I don't know why, but I feel like it's up to the parents. Please teach your kids the important things so that they know.
Or think
they
about,
need to be educated.
Think about, I didn't mean to cut you off, my bad. Think about, I don't know if you've seen Watchmen, not the movie, but the show with Regina King. The very first episode is about, it's not, I want to say it's about, but the very first episode, like one of the very first scenes is the Tulsa Massacre. And I remember, I had never heard about that, save for in my finance class when my professor, my teacher, because I was in high school, when my teacher talked about watching it. And so I'm watching this. I'm like, huh, that's a thing, you know? And then later on in the show, spoiler alert once again, I forgot her character's name, but Regina King's character lives, she kind of lives through her grandfather. She lives out his memories. And you see just these terrible things that we need to show our children. Like, I hate to say that, of course, at an appropriate age, but like one of the, and I said this once again on my podcast, Black Romy Spot Culture, I think it is every American's job. You know, we talk about our civil duties. I think it's every American's job to watch 12 Years a Slave. You don't have to like it, but that's the whole point. Because especially as Black people, we cannot appreciate our freedom if we don't know what we were freed from. You know, it's like salvation, going back to the Christ. And I said this yesterday at church, I'm like, I don't deserve to be saved, but I thank God for saving me from all the foolishness that I was doing. And yes, I was saved at 5, but, you know, from 5 to 21, my life has been crazy, you know. But even in that craziness, I thank God for saving me and from what other people went through and what I could have ended up as. And so the same thing goes for this, for pop culture and history being portrayed in pop culture, because that's what pop culture is. Pop culture is a reflection of our culture at the time. Our culture at the time is not always pretty, but that's life. You think a lot of stuff in the Bible is pretty? No. Moses murdered somebody and he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible.
You bring up 12 Years a Slave. I remember in my first film class that I took spring semester last year, had a Black professor, and it was like, you know, we were going through the basics of film, but the whole class was like centered around films made by Black people, Black actors, and all that. And he was showing us this like infographic, the amount of movies about the Holocaust compared to the amount of movies about slavery is insane. We love to talk about the Holocaust. We don't like to talk about what we did in America with slavery against Black people. It's like we're, like you were saying, we're trying to hide it. And no, let people know, because that is a real thing that happened and people need to know about it.
In schools, I learned this in one of my classes too. If you look at a history textbook, one of the most inaccurate books in the world, look at the pictures that they use that depict slaves. I was watching, we were watching this video, and this Black lady that was asking this, like, I think it was the author of the book. She said, is this picture an accurate depiction of slaves? He's like, yeah, they're doing work being watched by slave masters. She's like, no, their clothes are clean. They're not bloody. They're standing upright. They have shoes on. They look way too happy. This is not an accurate depiction of slavery. And like in school, they don't teach you. They teach you. Like, we've been taught up until, I don't even remember when it changed, but we were taught Christopher Columbus found the United States.
1492.
Glorified man found a new world. And then as we get older, I'm not even saying as we get older, we were told, like, that there were Native Americans here. Like, we learned Thanksgiving was the Pilgrims coming together with the Native Americans. So, like, it was in front of our faces that Native Americans were here first. They just didn't want to tell us that. But thank God that moving on, like, the world changed. And I am glad that they pushed Columbus Day to be Indigenous People Day. Another thing that they don't teach, like, I'm glad that my PWI of a high school that was pretty racist gave us African-American history after... I don't remember what, I'm pretty sure it was after the George Floyd incident, they decided to bring back African-American history. And it was taught by a white teacher, but I didn't mind that because, one, he knew the information. You don't got to be Black to teach Black history. If you're a historian that studies Black history, you can teach me Black history. I don't have a problem with it. And the textbook was written by a Black man, too. Not that I needed it written by a Black man, but that was one good thing. But I just remember going back to pop culture. I didn't know what Juneteenth was until I watched Blackish during the pandemic. And they didn't push Juneteenth up until probably around the George Floyd incident. And I'm thankful that there's something like Blackish that jokes around, like, has that humorous tone to a show, but at the same time teaches you about Black people, Black history, some of the stereotypes we face. Those are the things we need. It may seem a little forced because it's called Blackish. It's about a Black family and Anthony Anderson being all Black, Black, Black. But that's the point of the show. It's a designated show, the joke about being Black. And like shows like Juneteenth, I'm glad we have shows like Chosen. I haven't watched it, but shows like Chosen that teach the Bible accurately. I'm thankful that we have movies about Jesus dying on the cross or the life of Jesus, because You may see some pictures of Jesus, a white man hanging on a cross, just there, just with his arms up. But in the movies, you see he was whipped, bloodied. He was spat on, called King of the Worms, had that thorn crown on his head. We need that accurate depiction so that, one, we can feel that emotion. Because if you watch that and don't feel some sort of feeling in your body, then you may not truly be a Christian. But even though it's an actor, it's not Jesus, but just seeing that this is what happened when our Lord and Savior died and forgave us for our sins so that we didn't have to do that. We need those accurate depictions. We need accuracy. We need this taught to us in schools, through movie shows. We need more of that. But Nowadays, we got horror movies talking about the Antichrist, man. I remember Jeff sent me a gospel song, 7 minutes long. I listened to it. It was on Spotify. I had Spotify Premium, but I listened to it. And as soon as the song ended, I got an ad, and it was for a horror movie talking about kids being possessed. Like, man, this the devil runs through Hollywood and pop culture, man.
Devil be working.
But you talked about the Passion of Christ, and I would say the same sentiment I have towards 12 Years of Slaves goes towards the Passion of Christ when it comes to Christians. If you are a Christian, you should watch that movie. If you feel sick, that's the point. My only problem with that movie, actually I have two problems. One, Jim Caviezel is white, no disrespect to him, and Jesus was not white. And he looks too good looking. And tell me why I was at church on Friday for Good Friday, and my pastor was talking, and he was talking about how Jesus wasn't the best-looking guy. Why did my friend text me while he said, so he calling Jesus ugly? I was like, he's not calling him ugly. But anyway, that had me. But also, I remember I was watching it for a film class and also just to watch it. And the amount of times this man's Jesus was falling with the cross, I was like, okay, I get it. He's struggling with the cross, but could we depict it in a different way? But once again, the same sentiment goes, Passion of the Christ, if you feel sick, if you feel disgusted, you should. And what I like about the Passion of the Christ is it uses Aramaic. Aramaic is a dead language. And Aramaic is very rarely used in the Bible. It's used in Daniel. It's used in Matthew when Jesus says, Eloi, Eloi, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's used in Ezra, I believe. It's either Ezra or Nehemiah. But the fact that this language is very rarely used in the Bible, and it's a dead language, and they had to learn it. Not only that, but there's a scene where Jesus is talking to Pilate, and then he switches up and speaks in Latin, which is the language of the Romans at the time. I love that attention to detail, because it really just shows so many different aspects. It shows like how the Jews were treated at the time, and how they didn't necessarily read and write, but they were so intelligent in being able to learn like three different languages with Hebrew, or even like four with Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. And I'm struggling to even know sign language and English, you know. I love seeing stuff like that. And that's attributed to pop culture and also the Bible.
That reminds me, me and Jeff's church had this production called Glory to Glory, but they showed pieces of it on Sunday at all the services, and they do it every year, and I don't really watch it a lot, but something I really did appreciate this Sunday, or this past Easter, was when Jesus was praying in the garden, he was so stressed and nervous that he was sweating blood, and in the production, it was the first time I've seen, whether it be a movie or a play, it was the first time I seen the person playing Jesus sweating blood, like, as an act. And those little details just emphasize so much how powerful these moments are. Like, when it comes to film and every little detail, I don't remember when we were talking about this, Jeff, but every little detail in film matters. Like, whether it be a background character, lighting, song, those little things matter. People pick up on that stuff. Like, you got film reviewers, YouTubers every day posting little breakdowns. Like, especially, like, you look at Marvel. Marvel's been messing up a lot. You got YouTubers breaking down every bad thing they do. Whether it be messed up CGI, some background character messing something up. Everything matters. So it's important to just implement those smaller details to just tell your audience how important these things are.
That's why I'd be mad at Marvel, man. Because y'all have the money and the resources to make great movies, but like, they're just making movies to make money, and they're not making movies to make art. They're just throwing things together and throwing it out. Oh, you know, because people love Marvel movies, so they're going to go to movie theaters and give us money. But like La La Land, I love that movie because there's so many little details. Like, the colors of blue and yellow are all throughout the movie. And if you pay attention to these two colors, they literally tell the entire story of the movie without you watching the movie. It's insane. But Marvel will never do anything like that because they don't care. They just care about the money in your pocket.
It's not just Marvel, it's Disney. And going into another topic, talking about Star Wars. Yeah, talking about Star Wars. I mean, the last, like, really cinematically pleasing, or at least cinematography-wise, pleasing Star Wars film was probably Rogue One. And I like what the, even though I don't like The Last Jedi, I despise that movie with a passion.
It's a pretty movie, though.
It's a pretty it movie. With Holdo, what she did with that one shot when she, what she, it, what?
I don't care if it doesn't make sense.
What? But that shot, Ryan, and here's the thing, Ryan Johnson, you made Knives Out. I love that movie. It's a good movie. It flips everything on its head. You have the main character is someone who cannot lie, and yet she's involved in, spoiler, she's involved in a death. And you made The Last Jedi? Yeah, Disney, you know, they did mess you up. But really? But I'll save that because we can also talk about Star Wars, transition over to talk about Star Wars too.
Do you know how good the sequel trilogy would have been if Rian Johnson did all three? Do you know how great it would have been?
Forgot what Star Wars was about. Street.
See, yeah. With Marvel, Star Wars, I was watching a YouTube video, and they said a problem with Marvel and Star Wars is they're Disneyfying everything. They're not taking Marvel movies. I feel like you said that, Jeff. I feel like you said that in the last episode. I may be tripping, but I don't recall. I'll give you credit for it, though. But they said, like, if you look at the Infinity Saga, you got real heart-wrenching movies. And with the new saga of Marvel movies, you got Thor being a weird version of Thor. Like, it looks all, it just looks colorful, like a Disney movie. Even with the Marvels.
You know what their problem is? Disney doesn't, they're writing the movie as they're filming it. That's what their problem is. They don't know what they're doing.
They're always reshooting. They don't have good writers.
Go ahead, Jeff. My bad.
I was about to say, if you look at the original trilogy of Star Wars, George Lucas wrote all three movies before filming the first one. He already knew how the story was going to start and how it was going to end. Everyone loves it, kind of. But basically, you look at the sequel trilogy, we don't know what's going on. We're going to finish writing the movie, you know, midway through filming it, because we don't really know what we're doing here.
And I don't even think, like, with Marvel now, the color is the problem. Because, the color palette is expanded because I think that's the problem with the DCEU. They had just such muted colors. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, like, I understood the purpose of the Nolan films because it was supposed to be grounded, but we still let Batman, Batman wasn't really Batman, but we still let that Batman be Batman. You feel me? So it's not necessarily the color palette, because Marvel, I'm thinking of Thor in general, though, it's literally called the Rainbow Bridge. The Bifrost is also called the Rainbow Bridge. So you can imagine they have some wacky outfits up in Asgard. But the problem is, it's just too much. And I said this before, and I talked about it on my podcast. 59 hours for phase 4. That's how much you have to watch for one single phase. Not even all three phases combined along with phase 4. It's crazy. And it's just like, they don't let people. You want to talk about diversity. You want to talk about inclusion. You know, Werewolf by Night, is inclusion, but it's done so well because, and same thing with Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Spoiler alert, Jack Russell and Namor are two white people in the comic books, but they expand on casting these actors of these ethnicities and make the story even better. Because I don't care about Namor in the comic books. He's annoying. He's, okay, he's a prince. He really cares about his people. But now we can see more of that dynamic. Jack Russell, who's that? And it's like certain stuff like that, I don't mind. But when we just keep, there's no line. It's just like, let's keep doing it. It's an overcorrection. Instead of actually addressing the problem or being like, hey, this is a problem. Why don't we make new characters instead of bastardizing characters that are already created? Like, I remember one time they talked about Michael B. Jordan being the next Superman. I'm like, why?
I remember that.
You can't do, I'm sorry, Clark Kent is not a black guy. I'm sorry. Because if the whole thing is about him blending in, some black guy in Kansas on the farm, that ain't gonna blend in. Y'all be like, who is that? Did I lie?
No, not at all. Oh my gosh, what was I gonna say? Oh, you brought up the fact that it's 59 hours. I'm doing a for my communications class, I have to do a persuasion speech on Wednesday, and I'm doing it on trying to tell people about the film industry's mistreatment of VFX artists, specifically superhero movies. They treat the VFX artists horribly. Anyway, but Marvel's phases 1 through 3, right? 10 years. 23 projects. In the last 4 years, we've gotten 21 Marvel projects. Why? That's way too much.
And also, I just want to say this. Watchmen is my favorite book. Save for the good book, of course. Save for the good book. Watchmen is my favorite book of all time. It's the only graphic novel on the 100 best graphic novels of all time. You know why it's the only graphic novel, or at least in my opinion, or one of the best graphic novels ever? Because it was made out of constriction. Constriction forces creativity. Alan Moore was contracted to write 12 issues of The Watchmen, but at the time he only had 6. So what did he do? He kind of dragged out the story. He would have story, character issue, story, character issue, story, character issue. Once again, one of the greatest graphic novels of all time. Think about, same author, Batman the Killing Joke, okay? People know, even people who don't even read comic books know that story. It's the story of the origin of the Joker. He mentions it in Dark Knight. Well, I had a wife, or my father was a drinker. That comes from Killing Joke. Does he say stuff like that in Killing Joke directly? No, but it's inspired by it. Once again, was from constriction, where Alan Moore was, he's like, okay, I had another contract, I had to write one more Batman story, and I just, whatever. We don't have that anymore. Think of the first Iron Man. The first Iron Man, spoiler alert, is mostly improv. They did not have a script. It forced them to be creative. And through that, you have 10 years of amazing movies. Some duds, but still, the duds were still enjoyable. Now, garbage.